Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
All right, good morning, friends. Welcome in. We are glad you're here. You know what we want? We want to hear from you. 314-436-7900. Join the show by texting and calling, leaving voice messages directly from the Odyssey app. That's where you listen to the show live. Did you know that? You can take it with you wherever you are, on your phone, on your tablet, whatever, man. Go ahead and put it on your phone. It's totally free. And leave us those voice messages. And we are also streaming live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter at Chris Amy KMOX. That is us on Twitter. Mike Elam is sitting in for Amy Marks Kors today.
How about
Hello,
that?
Mike.
And I'm healthy. I haven't broken anything.
Do not break anything.
It's awesome. I'm excited to be here.
Do not hurt anybody.
I try to do my best to not hurt anybody. That actually works out well.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everyone will be talking about.
Well, the news just coming across about 15 minutes ago or so. Sam Page, the county executive, has decided he will not seek re-election. We're going to talk to Councilman Mark Harder in about 10 minutes.
Story number two is the Powerball jackpot. It's an estimated $1.5 billion. The next drawing is coming up on Saturday night.
My Lord. How about Dustin May? That's right. Officially, he has signed with the St. Louis Cardinals. SLU basketball with a win last night. They beat up on Bethune-Cookman. And the Blues got a shutout. Not got shutout. They got a shutout.
Woohoo!
So they desperately needed that. So as I said, Mike Elam is in. I'm Chris Ranji, and we are with you until 12 o'clock today. Then it is the Gas House Gang. Sam Page, we got this news right before the show started today. He has decided, with all the turmoil that's going on, we don't know everything that has led to the decision. I have to imagine that is part of it. He has decided he will not seek re-election as the executive for St. Louis County. And I imagine, look, I don't have a very strong opinion of Sam Page. I think a lot of people who work with him seem to have a frosty relationship with him.
That's a nice way
Even people within his own party. I mean, we've seen a lot of the interaction. We've read a lot of the stories about it, but he is no longer coming back, which maybe is for the best.
I think it probably is. I think it's best probably for the St. Louis region that Sam doesn't come back. You know, Sam stepped in when Steve Stenger went to jail or had to resign before he went to jail. And he was the chairman of the council back then. And things were different. You know, everybody kind of got along for the most part. They had fights, but nothing that was really astronomical. And then as Sam has been there, things have become more and more polarized. And not just Republican against Democrat, really the council against the county executive. And he only had one ally that was on the council. So it was 6-1, pretty much against him. And I think as you started seeing the way the tide was unrolling here with State Senator Brian Williams, who is already said that he was going to be in the primary, and he has done a great job of fundraising. He is outraising Sam, in some cases, 4-1 on how this is going. So I think looking at just the toxic climate after the whole COVID situation with Sam, that just wasn't handled well. And I think a lot of people in St. Louis County have never really forgiven him for that. And then you've seen all these other things happening. And now you've got St. Louis County that's looking at an $80 million budget shortfall for 2026. There are so many things that I think Sam is kind of looking at that said, you know, it's really good to hand this off to someone else. So, Senator Williams, welcome. Let's see how you like it.
I'd be really curious to see if he would have won anyway, because it just, no matter what has gone on in the county, it usually does. And so I'd like to know if that would have been, you know, the COVID thing, the shortfall that we know is coming.
Yes.
If that would have changed the tide this time. You have been involved in campaigns before. If you are being outraised by another candidate, does that necessarily mean, and you said in some cases Brian Williams is outpacing him 4-1,
he is,
in terms of fundraising?
Right.
Does that necessarily mean a win?
It doesn't, but generally, he who has the most money has the best opportunity to get their message out. And I would be remiss if I didn't remind people, Dennis Hancock, who is currently District 3 of St. Louis County Council, is already said he's going to run for the Republican nomination. So he was going to have not only a primary, but he was also going to have a general that was going to happen here. Now, most people would tell you that Councilman Hancock is going to have an uphill battle anyway, because it is more of a Democrat county than it is a Republican county to start with. So he starts out kind of behind the eight ball on that. But he had a better chance if Page was in the race, because he had a common denominator target that said a lot of Democrat folks would vote for Hancock just because they're sick of Sam. But if Sam's not there anymore, then it's going to be an even bigger battle for Councilman Hancock to get this done. But you never know.
I just don't know how you were even, not you, but how Executive Page was even operating lately. If you had that much headwind working against you.
Yeah.
You have that many people who just, it appears, do not like working with you or feel like they can't work with you. Almost your entire council is usually against you. I don't even know how you could even operate.
I get the opportunity to see Sam every month because I sit on the East-West Gateway Board with Steve Ellman in St. Charles County. So Steve and I are the two St. Charles County representatives down there. And I will tell you, as a person, I like Sam. He's a good guy. He and I have always gotten along, and he's always been nice to me. From a political standpoint, decisions he makes, I shake my head sometimes and I go, man, that seems like an unforced error. Why would you pick that battle? And everybody has their own reasons for doing something. And being somebody who for the last year has been running for the St. Charles County executive spot, I appreciate how hard it is to run countywide. And St. Louis County is twice the size of St. Charles County. And to have that many people not only know you, but dislike you, is going to make that battle so much harder for him. So I think all in all, him getting out of the race is going to be better for his family. It's going to be better for his personal mindset. But the good news for him is he's got from now until the end of 26 to put all that stuff aside and just say, what is best for St. Louis County? It doesn't matter how it affects my political future. It's funny, I've talked to people who have been in elected office and said, I'm riding off into the sunset. I am not going to run for re-election. The demeanor change in them is amazing. You see the pressure go off of them. Because let's be honest, if you're an elected official at any level, your number one thing is trying to get reelected, because you can't influence change if you're not at the table. So if you're trying to get something done, you've got to have a seat at the table to get it done. When you say, I'm done, it is very freeing for you to be able to make some decisions on things. You've seen it at the federal level with Mitch McConnell, who has taken position since he said, I'm out of here. I'm going to finish out this term and then I'm done. You can make decisions that really follow your conscience in a way that you would hope politicians would always do, but is rare.
We've seen a lot of that now. I think one good example is Thomas Massie.
Yeah.
He's sort of gone with what he wants to do because he knows he's not going to run for re-election.
It is very freeing when you can do that.
That is Mike Elam. I am Chris Ranji. Mike, I forgot my own name. Mike is in for Amy Mark's course today. When we come back, Councilman Mark Harder from St. Louis County will join us on the show. Sam Page decides not to run for another term. We'll discuss that with Councilman Harder next on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Chris and Amy show. Mike Elam is sitting in today with me. Appreciate you being with us. And we had the news right before we started the show. Sam Page, county executive, announcing that he will not seek another term. So he will finish out this one, and that will be the end of that. Joining us to discuss that is Councilman Mark Harder from District 7, who joins us now. Councilman Harder, how are you?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Doing okay. We're doing okay. So I guess the simple question is, what are your thoughts when you heard the news?
We suspected this for a little while, especially with some of the indictments and other things happening around the region. We were just thinking, how could somebody, you know, continue to stay in this role and be effective going forward? And I wish him well. And hopefully we will move ahead with other things and hope that we can better the community going forward.
Hey, Councilman, thanks for making the time for us today. It's good to talk to you.
You too.
So I know there's been some rumors that people didn't think he was going to run. How do you think this is going to change things with the council moving forward? Or do you think it will?
That's a good question. We'll see. We'll see what happens here. There's some pending legislation that he'll need to act on here soon, one way or the other. We'll see how he decides to react to that. You know, he can be in a very powerful position right now as somewhat of a lame duck, but he can do pretty much anything he wants to do without the political, ramifications of a reelection. And so he could be quite powerful if he wanted to be.
So what, in your opinion, does need to happen, here in the next several months before he's finally out of office?
Well, we'll go through the normal process. This 2026 is an election year. People will file for all different jobs here this winter. And then there'll be in the case of this position, being a partisan position, there will be a primary in August and a general election in November. So the good thing is we're in the normal cycle, so there won't be any special elections or anything, and he'll serve out his term until that time, and then we'll start a new administration come 27.
You're going through a tough budget year in going into 26 and looking at an $80 million shortfall. What's the council going to do to try and fix that? Obviously, that's a big one.
Well, we did the first big steps this past week. We voted on a new budget. We cut almost $80 million out of Sam Page's projected budget that he wanted us to adopt, and it was just so far out of reality. We had to do more, and so we did. And so we took some major cuts from his proposal. But the money that we are going to spend in 26 is pretty much what we spent in 25. So everybody talks cuts, but really it's cuts off of a projection that Sam Page wanted to spend, and we're not going to spend that. And so, but we are going to relook at everything in St. Louis County, and we've been doing that. We've been doing light item looks at everything. We've looked at things that need to be changed. We need new legislation on some things. And we're going to be watching this budget very closely in 26, because 27 is going to be, unless major change happens in 26, 27 is going to be as strong a year that we need to get this projected deficit under control.
County Councilman Mark Harder is with us on KMOX. Is the county in good shape right now, generally speaking? And if it is or is not, how much is it or is it not?
It depends on who you talk to. From a financial standpoint, it's not good. We have to realign our spending with the revenue. You know, revenue have been dropping for the last couple of years since COVID, and it's not keeping up with inflation and the cost of a government. Also, on the flip side, is St. Louis County is very expensive government to run. We've got antiquated work rules. We've got antiquated bidding process. And so every time things happen, things we purchase, things we do, seems to be more expensive than the last time we did it. Technology is very expensive. We've been trying to convert to more technology so that we are not so labor dependent, people dependent, trying to weed out costs there. But that technology is very expensive. So it's trying to balance this, and still trying to govern, raise taxes, have the income for the government that we have to keep it running.
Hey, Mark, what do you think about the interpersonal relationships between the council and the county executive? Obviously, it's been strained for a while, and you're pretty much Republicans and Democrats, with one exception on the council, have all kind of aligned together to go against him in most of the cases that I've been watching the votes happen. But do you think there is a possibility now that the pressure's off that he's not going to be running again? Do you think there's an opportunity to heal that and try to get everybody to work together and row in the same direction, so to speak?
I would hope that would come about out of all this. He's got an opportunity here to solidify his legacy if he wanted to, and to, patch things up, work together with us. I mean, even just an example of this budget, it was so far out of reality. And his people and himself would not sit down with us across the table and say, hey, let's look at this line item by line item and see where we can work together. But instead it was, he proposed his budget back in October and basically says, take it or leave it. And then it's our job as the council to then go through it and have meetings, which we did probably 30 meetings with different parts of the government, to figure out, how can we make this more like reality? And I was very frustrated in that we got very little cooperation from the administration to move forward on this. And whether it was on purpose or by accident, but there was no extending of any kind of negotiation or olive branch to try to work together on this. And this would have been a prime opportunity to do that if he wanted to.
We know this has been politically in this country, a pretty difficult time over the last decade or so with bipartisanship. There just isn't, at least from the perspective of people, on the outside looking at it, just isn't a whole lot of that it's almost a bad thing when you work with the other side. Does that exist on the local level as far as you've experienced?
It does when you have partisan jobs. My background when I started in politics was at the local level, at the city level, where it was nonpartisan. And I think people work together more in that type of environment because you didn't have a certain R or D next to your name. And you were there for the, betterment of the community, not the betterment of your future or your career or a party of some kind. So St. Louis County is unique in that it is a partisan position. But at the same time, for the last 3-4 years, 6 of us on the council out of 7 have worked together in a bipartisan way because, we didn't agree with what Sam Page was trying to do. And so he actually was a melding force that brought by his goals and things that he wanted to do were in so much conflict with the rest of us that the six of us kind of came together against him on many, many issues. So he was kind of a product of his own problems when it comes to try to, build any kind of voting bloc for him to get anything done.
Hey, next year is election year, obviously. So how do you think this race is going to shape up? Obviously, you got Dennis Hancock on the Republican side, who's the leading guy. You got Brian Williams on the Democrat side. Do you think that there's going to be some other folks who are going to jump in, or do you think that's going to end up being the November race?
You know, this race is a very expensive race. I mean, there's always folks that just want to see their name on a ballot, and they'll put their name out there. But you got to have serious candidates. This is a big job. It's a very important job. And you got to have people that are willing to go and do everything to get a campaign, you know, going and financed and everything like that. So I would hope that, people look at the candidates that are going to come out of this and look at them seriously and decide what's best for St. Louis County moving forward.
Last thing for you, and it's really completely off topic, but I haven't had the opportunity to speak to anybody about it, but the downtown Chesterfield redevelopment that is happening, how's it coming along?
It's coming along quite well. Was talking with some of the people attached to that not too long ago, and if you've driven by the site, you can see they've pulled up all the asphalt and all the concrete, and that's being recycled. So the ground is being moved. The buildings that they wanted removed have been removed. The ones that you see there are going to stay and be repurposed. It's a great project and one that it will be the crown jewel for West County at least, and if not for the whole region when it's done. But it is a long-term project. It's looking probably at 5 to 8 years to get it fully done because it has so many facets to it and different types of businesses and different types of residential that are going to be there. And it's all new for, whatever has been there in the past. So it should be a model for the future in a lot of different areas. You know, malls are closing everywhere. People are not shopping that way anymore. And the ones that are going to be left are probably going to be those that will succeed and others will go away. So with that in mind, this could be an example for other malls around the country that have this kind of space that could be used for a multi-purpose type of development.
So it is.
I'm really excited that when this thing will get completed.
So it is too late to bring back Chesterfield Mall.
I think so. I think so. I think you might want to throw away your coupons.
The Cheesecake Factory is no longer.
Come on,
it's so sad.
Right, but they have rumored that they may come back in the new development.
Oh, great!
And so we'll hopefully that they will. They were one of the last businesses there, and we're doing, from what I heard, quite well. It was one of the top stores in the country. And hopefully they will, rebrand and re-come back as a major restaurant in the region.
Well, start reading the menu now, and by the time the mall's built, you'll get done with it.
Exactly.
You'll have read through the entire menu.
Yeah.
All right. Councilman Mark Harder, we appreciate your time. Thank you for jumping on with us at short notice.
No problem. Anytime.
That is County Councilman Mark Harder from District 7. I got Mike Elam with me sitting in for Amy Mark's Scores. I'm Chris Ranji. When we come back, we know you're going to win that $1.5 billion Powerball.
Woohoo!
We know for a fact you are. So we're going to have a financial advisor tell us and tell you what to do with your winnings. Justin Brown, financial advisor with Krentz Financial Group, joins us next on KMOX. Well, Mike Elam came in and he said he bought a Powerball ticket. And he is determined he's going to win this bad boy. Because the jackpot, if you haven't heard, is up to an estimated $1.5 billion. The next drawing will be on Saturday. So, if we are anything on this show, Mike Elam, it is a public service. That's what we are.
And that's why we love you, Chris Ranji.
Yeah, we just want to make sure that people out there listening keep their finances right. You know, they stay safe.
Well,
they don't do something stupid.
Let's be honest. $1.5 billion is a big chunk of change. Yeah. And you need to be responsible like that. So one of the questions we're going to have to find out the answer to, do you take the $1.5 billion or do you take the cash option?
Oh, the cash option.
Oh, you gotta know.
Well, let's
find
out. If
we only had someone who was a financial expert who could help us.
Well, I got news for you. Financial what? Advisor and branch manager with Krentz Financial Group, Justin Brown, is with us now on KMOX. What's up, Justin?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Oh, we're hearing music. How are you?
Not bad. Now I'm.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Going to go out and buy a ticket. I didn't realize it was that high already.
You didn't? Okay. Well, see, this is good news. Here's a financial advisor who you would have thought would have said, don't waste your money on something so frivolous. But now,
what
now
they say, a dollar buys a dream or something like that?
Well,
it's two. But yeah, it's a more expensive dream. We've upscaled it.
Is the dream itself worth that dollar?
I mean, yeah, if you can hit it, that'd be fantastic, right?
I guess it's all about just having the fun, right? And that little bit of hope, like, yeah, I know I'm not going to win, but maybe, right?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah.
In the words of Jesse Jackson, keep hope alive, man.
Absolutely. And then your mind starts racing on what you would do with the money, and it could be a life-changing event, obviously.
So that's why we have you, because $1.5 billion, that's what the jackpot is right now. The cash payout would be $686 million prior to taxes and all of that. All right, so just first things first, do you take the money, the cash payout, or do you just take the installments?
That's a great question, and it's individualized, in my opinion. So what I mean by that, you know, if you're an older person, you may want to take the cash lump sum. You know, why annuitize something that's going to go on well beyond your years? Now, if you look at from a return perspective, you know, it's hard to say. If you can average a 3-5% return, you're probably better off taking the annuity option and investing that, as long as you're disciplined, throughout the next 30 years. If you want to take the lump sum option, you can get a little higher return than that. It's probably going to pay off more in the long run. But the key to all of it really is discipline. And you have to be disciplined with it. So you can't go out there and start blowing your money on big ticket items and things like that. And you have to have a plan in place. And really, that's really the most important thing.
So, Justin, I'm not saying I'm going to win, but I am saying I may have looked into this a little more unhealthy than I should. Because I've started looking at, okay, if I did the cash option at $686.5 million, and I thought, what am I going to get after taxes, right? And is it even worth it? Let's be honest. You know, is it even worth buying the $2 ticket? In Missouri, I understand that you'll net 58.1% of that. So that kind of gives you your payout and says, hey, this is what you're going to end up with. So when you're saying it's individualized, should you take the annuity? Should you take that cash payout? Is there an age that you go, well, you know, if you're under 40, I'd probably say you should do this. But if you're over 50, you should probably do the cash option. Just throwing some numbers out.
Yeah. I don't know that it's an age specific thing. I think
you're
it really
80,
comes down.
That's pretty, you know, 40-year payout.
Yeah,
it's pretty optimistic.
Yeah, of course, of course. I don't think it's necessarily age specific, but you are in that crossroads between 40, 50 as an example that you gave. But really, it comes down to discipline. You have to have a plan in place. You have to have the right team hired, attorney, CPA, you know, financial planner. Me personally, and again, this isn't any sort of advice, but me personally, I would take the cash option. But I do this every day. You know, I know my risk tolerance. I know what I could probably get, hopefully, over the long term when it comes to the markets. So I would take the cash option on my end. But, you know, it really depends. You know, if somebody's a spendthrift, they may want to take the annuity option to give them some more discipline. It just depends.
If I am doing the math correctly, and I don't do math correctly usually, you would end up with $398 million of the $600. Then that is post-tax. So after taxes, you'd have $398 million to play around with.
That's almost enough to get by.
Yeah, that's pretty good, right?
I mean, that's like radio money.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think you could probably buy some groceries with that, too. That's great.
That's right. Yeah. You could shop at Straub's at that kind of money.
Hell yeah. Justin Brown with Krentz Financial Group is with us on KMOX. So obviously you'd want to have a financial planner. You want to have attorneys. Is the first thing you should do in a case like this, get an attorney and a state attorney?
Yes, but let's back up. The first thing anybody should do is stay calm and keep it private.
Yes.
You know, that's the big thing. And I believe Missouri law is that you can remain anonymous. And I think that's important. So stay calm, remain anonymous, sign your ticket, sign the back of the ticket, and, you know, put it in a safe place, a safe deposit box or some sort of fireproof safe or something. And then after that, yeah, start to assemble your team. See what the rules are with the lottery, see what the claim process looks like, and then start to assemble that team. Hire the attorney that is specialized in asset protection. Hire a competent CPA, hire a financial planner, and kind of get all your ducks in a row before you go and claim the prize. An attorney, and again, I'm not an attorney or a CPA, but the attorney is probably going to advise to set up a trust. You may want to claim those winnings within the trust rather than individually. So those are the first steps that you need to do. But the biggest thing that everybody is going to have the biggest problem with is staying private and staying calm.
I know that. I would have. I'll tell you this. I would have no problem. I would not tell any of you people. I'd just be gone.
Oh,
I'd be gone. That's it. You'll never see or hear from me again. You could all celebrate and you'll be like, whatever happened to him? Oh, must have won the Powerball. Yeah. So you said that you want to you know, claim the prize through a trust. Why do you want to do that as opposed to, or why would you want to do that as opposed to, you know, for yourself?
The big thing is privacy. There's no public records that ties the winnings to your name. So if you set that up into a trust, the trust claims the winnings. So that's the number one thing. It doesn't necessarily save you in any sort of tax expenses or anything like that. But the big thing is privacy. And we've heard the horror stories of people hitting these big winnings, and as soon as they win, everybody from out of the woodworks comes and asks for money and needs help and that sort of thing. So you do want to keep it private.
Yeah, that's my dream, is to become a no person. I just want to be the guy who says no.
So if anybody wins this, guy already.
Oh yeah, but I'll do it for pay now. I was doing it for sport before. Now it's for money. If you hire me, I will be the person who tells everybody who asks you for money no.
That's great.
Okay.
That's so great. Now, hey, you know, we always say in our business, we'll ask the question, but we understand that no is always an answer.
Yeah.
So
that's right.
I like that.
Justin Brown with Krentz Financial Group joining us on 104.1 FM KMOX. So we have heard stories, like you said, of people, you know, you've got folks coming out of the woodwork and now suddenly they're your cousin and they, you know, remember when we hung out as kids? So you have that. I'm sure there are, as you said, big ticket items that people immediately want to go buy and maybe they overindulge. But if you do win a prize, why is it that some people can end up losing it all. You hear those horror stories. I'm not sure how common it actually is, but you do hear of stories of people who win big jackpots and then end up losing it all.
Yeah. Yeah. The number one reason from, and again, I don't have experience in this, obviously. Otherwise, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you guys. But,
see, you'd have disappeared too, Justin.
You'd be doing this from a beach somewhere.
That's right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But yeah, from what I've heard, that's exactly what it is. The big ticket purchases. People go out, they overindulge, they get in over their head, and really just starts to drain on their assets. And, you know, whatever those big ticket purchases are, there could be maintenance involved. There could be costs to maintain, you know, things like that, that can really eat away. Now, I will say this, and again, this is just my own opinion. I don't know if big ticket purchases are someone are the examples that people are using when they hit a $1 billion jackpot.
This is true.
It's probably, you know, a $20 million jackpot,
right,
or something like that. Those are a lot of the folks that do spend through their money and lose it over time.
You can buy some pretty big tickets when you've got $1 billion.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So big ticket becomes relative at that point.
So my guess is that I don't know everything about numbers, but if you do end up with almost $400 million clear after you've paid taxes, it is okay to buy a house.
Yeah. Yeah. I look at it. I kind of use the analogy that I use with my kids in school. When it comes to grades, you know, if they haven't gotten Fs, but hypothetically, I always tell them it takes some work to get an F. And I think, you know, if you win $400 million and you go broke, it's probably going to take some work for you to go broke. I mean, that's a big lump sum for sure.
You should write a book. If you win $400 million and you go broke, you should write a book, because we're going to have to know, how did you do that?
It's amazing.
100%.
Justin Brown, you guys are awesome. We appreciate you as always. Thank you for being with us and guiding us. And if I do win this thing, I'm reaching out to you first.
That's great. That's great. And we can set up a payment plan where, you know, you can maybe give me a little more than a couple million dollars.
Well, don't put it out there.
I mean, be your friend, right?
Why are you putting the business out there, man? We're doing this. There's going to be a blind trust, remember?
That's right.
Did you miss the first part of this where he said he's going to say no for a living?
That's right. I can't wait.
Yeah.
No, but Justin's going to work for me.
Oh, so there you go.
That's different.
So you're a yes.
Justin Brown, financial advisor, branch manager with Krentz Financial Group. We appreciate you as always. Thanks, Justin.
You bet. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
See you, man.
See, Mike, that's what you do.
I love it.
You follow, get yourself a good financial advisor, and you go from there.
You know, you should probably have a good financial advisor, whether you win the $1.5 billion or not. It's probably, and right now is a great time to call them.
Now, did you see this with Chris and Amy?
Well, Mike Elam, did you see that former KSDK anchor, Savannah Louie, who is no longer in St. Louis?
But she is not.
She is not. She moved on, I believe, to Atlanta. And then I don't think is in the business anymore.
She's out of the news business now.
But
she is a Survivor superstar.
She is $1 million richer because she did, in fact, win Survivor.
So I'm really glad that you told me that, because I didn't watch it last night. And my wife and I, because my wife worked late last night, so we were going to watch it today.
Oh,
so I'm excited that I just learned. And I can tell you right now,
I mean, it's in the news. It's been,
I'm just,
if you've
kidding.
Read the Post-Dispatch, or if you've read any of the websites.
My wife is going to be heartbroken, because that is the person she did not want to win.
Oh, why?
She's polarizing, let's just say that. And evidently, so she goes off and tells this big story. Do you watch Survivor?
Did Mm-mm. you?
Okay, so we're
never
reality
once in my
TV
whole
people.
Life.
I've watched all 49 seasons of Survivor.
You're kidding me.
No, I have no life. That's me.
Wow.
When you get to be my age, you'll do it too. But anyway, she went off and told this story about how she was beat up at this news organization that she was at, and how they really ostracized her and made fun of her. Turns out it was at Channel 5.
I thought it was once she left Channel 5.
No, it was at Channel 5.
I heard that story.
It's the only place that fits the parameters that she gave the story. She was here for 2 years, and all the other places doesn't fit.
Oh.
So, yeah. How about that?
Well, yeah, because I did hear that part.
Yeah. So you're a little plugged in on Survivor.
Well, I don't know where I mean, I haven't watched it for myself.
It's going to be big. I think maybe next season, number 50. I'm curious to see where they're going to go with that one. Jeff Probst is a really good host.
Could have been. You could tell me anything about Survivor, and I would believe you.
I'm about to make up all kinds of stuff now.
Yeah. how about this story? This is not one you want to do. This happened outside of Denver. Commerce City. Are you familiar with Commerce City?
I'm not.
So this story coming out of KDVR. The Commerce City Police Department shared some of the most significant incidents that happened over the weekend in a weekly post on YouTube. There were over 300 calls. There was one in particular that was a bit unusual. They described it as truly bizarre. Overnight, Friday into Saturday, they said a man allegedly crawled under a gate into the police department's secured parking lot, managed to get inside, and steal a patrol call.
Ooh.
Yes. But the most important part is that he was not wearing any clothes. Yeah. He was naked when they finally pulled him over and got him out of the car.
Was this an alcohol-related issue?
I don't know. I think the guy's trying to have a good time.
Well, obviously, he wanted to get down to the bare facts of it.
He was arrested. Third-degree motor vehicle theft, second-degree criminal trespass, and driving without a license.
And indecent exposure, I would assume.
Yeah. So, I don't know if he was drunk or not. It doesn't say that. He wasn't charged with it.
Well, of course he didn't have a license. Where are you going to keep it? Let's not answer that question.
I'll show you.
Oh, wow.
Mike Elam, Chris Ronji.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.